You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. My thanks to Jerry Jones for coming on. He's the, you just heard him. Amazing story. He's the president of the 1st Marine Division Association. Starting today, there'll be activities all week for those guys that have, are so much of the history of the Blue Diamond, 77-year anniversary, and then the rededication of the battle colors on Friday along with their banquet Friday night. So cool stuff going on at Camp Pendleton this week. Joining me is the gunner, formerly the gunner of the Blue Diamond.
A Blue Diamond alum.
Exactly. How many different elements of the Blue Diamond did you go to war with?
I went with 1st Light Armored Reconnaissance
Battalion. Independent Battalion. Okay.
Independent Battalion. I went with 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines. I went with 5th Marine Regiment as the regimental guy.
Right.
I went as the 1st Marine Regiment. And I'm missing one. No, that's it. Yeah. 1st Marine Regiment, 5th Marine Regiment, 3-5, and 1st Oleo.
There you go. Wow. Blue Diamond guy.
But how many units in the first Marine Division did I serve in?
Well, you started out in 1st Marine Regiment, I think.
1-1.
1-1. And then, you came back and you were in 1-5. I know that.
I was in 1-5. I was in 2-5.
2-5. You were in 3?
I was in 3-5.
3-5. So.
And I was with 5th Marines.
5th Marines. You hit them all. Were you in weapons?
So I get to wear the.
Were you in weapons company?
I get to wear the 4J forever. Yeah.
I wear it as a necktie. I was a part of 7th. I was a part of Regimental Combat Team 7 as a part.
We're not talking about 7th Marines. Those are the desert guys. We're talking about home.
I know, but I've been in
1st and 5th.
Home.
And now the 1st Recon? 1st LAR?
1st Recon? When were you with 1st Recon?
93, 92? Right after the Gulf War.
No,
it was a very short stint. You know why? This is a funny story.
Why?
Because they disbanded recon, battalion recon right after.
That's right.
And made regimental recon companies, remember?
Right, I remember that.
So I left, check this out, I left 5th Marines, going to go do my dream job. I'm like, yeah, finally, a recon. And then I get over there, and they disband us, and I go to regimental company A, and guess where I come back to? 5th Marine Regiment. And guess what battalion is short of sergeants that are 0341s?
Hmm.
Oh, 1-5. And I go back to 1-5. So it was like, are you kidding me?
Around the world. And you walk into 1-5 and they're like, are you kidding me? You're back?
Well, they tried to do the.
All that shit you talked when you left, I'm out of this shithole battalion. Later, dudes. You won't have me to kick around anymore. What?
Shit this, buddy. And then you come back a couple weeks later. Hey, I'm back.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I just got off the phone a little bit ago with a guy who was a company commander at Quezon. And I think he's going to come on the show next week. And
good.
Yeah, it's and he has a lot to say for guys, and there's a lot of them out there who've led in combat, and you lose Marines. How do you live with that? You know what I mean? And guys, and you know, Mike, guys struggle with that forever. I mean, you know, could I have done something different? What could I have done that day that to make it, you know, to not do what I did? And so his name's Ken Pipes. He was Bravo Company 126. And I mean, he's the one that sent out a patrol that lost 27 Marines KIA. They had another patrol ambushed, you know, a couple months before that where they lost, I want to say 16. And, you know, Vietnam fighting against the NVA, you hear these casualty numbers and your frame of reference is Iraq and Afghanistan and you're thinking, holy what? But those are not abnormal. I mean, those were no shit, get it on, you know, I will close with you, you know, fights. And, you know, and then when he leaves Vietnam, he goes to, what is it, 223 or something at Port Hueneme. And
right.
guess what his collateral duty is there?
Probably Keiko.
So he goes from Quezon to being Keiko for like northern Los Angeles and the San Fernando Valley. And so we're talking, I said, you're lucky you're not an alcoholic or dead already. And he said, it was hard on my spirit, you know, just, he said, because I tried to do those, every one of them, I tried to do every one of those guys the way they should have been done. And it was, you know, that stuff's tough. And then he told me one more story and real quick. And he said, and then I talked and he told me the guy's name, Larry something. And they weren't able to recover his body. And he wrote his mother, a letter. This is how your son died. And we weren't able to recover his body and blah, 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 blah. When the POWs are getting off the plane, guess this guy named Larry rolls off the plane. He said, I was watching TV. I saw him. I literally fell to my knees. And he said it was, I felt horrible and happy at the same time. Horrible that I'd written that letter. But I, you know, it's what I knew at the time and what we concluded at the time. And so, and then he walked off that plane and my heart just went through the roof. And so, just, you know, those living with that, right?
Hello.
Right.
So pretty amazing. So hopefully next week Ken Pipes will join us and talk about what it is to be in command like that at a place like Quezon and have to live with what you live with on a daily basis. And here's the other thing. Unlike what we do now, I mean, where we train as a company and then we deploy as a company, you know, he joins the company in country, right? There's people coming and going all the time.
Oh, yeah, combat replacements. Yeah.
Right. People coming and going all the time, and then you leave. Crazy.
Which I like better. I actually like that idea better.
You do? Why?
Because, Mac, it continues to build resident knowledge within that, you know. So instead of you spend so much time training everybody to a certain level.
Right.
All you got to do is every once in a while train a smaller group to a certain level. Much easier.
Hmm.
You know,
I don't know. I'd have to give that some thought, Mike, because everybody who says that I know that did that from Vietnam says the way you guys do it now is so much better.
Because they didn't do it this way. And just like this, we didn't do it that way. So we're two opposite sides looking at and saying, man, that car is much faster than ours.
We should be saying, though. I should be saying. But, you know, again, I think the cohesion thing sometimes is overstated. But I think coming and going as an individual is bad for people, for human beings.
I don't know.
And I think you have, you probably have a point in terms of in any time you have a mix in that company of really experienced guys and novices and there's a constant turnover of information, you're not all new at the same time.
Your edge is never dull. That's the problem, what I don't, you know, from my fighting and killing the other guy, your edge is never dull. You never lose it. Whereas when you go back and you have to rebuild, you're not only rebuilding the edge, you're blank piece of steel and you're hammering it out and you don't know what you're going to make. You know, that blade, how strong it is. At least you know how strong that blade is and you know how sharp it is. All it is just kept honing it. When you go back, you're rebuilding everything. That's the problem.
Right.
From a warfighting aspect. Yeah. From cohesion and everything else, yeah.
No doubt. Right.
I could see that argument.
Right. Okay. No, I think both arguments are valid. How do you get them both? And let me tell you the other part is there's some units that don't do turnover very well, and guys get killed.
Oh, there's horrible.
And guys get killed because of it. You know, when you come and you're turning over, you should have your helmet in your hand, and you should have your notebook, and you should have your mouth shut. Nobody cares about your last deployment or the two before that. Okay.
Goes both ways.
I know, but your attitude when you go there is we're going to learn from them, and then we'll assume it. But
what I'm saying is, I've seen a lot of units that do the other when they come in. It's what you can't teach me shit. Just get out of my way.
That I know, Mike. And how many people? Well, and we know people that
I saw that a lot.
Arrogance gets people, and it gets.
I've been here before. Yes, it was 2 years ago, but
we were in Fallujah. We were in Fallujah. I got this. Yeah, well, this is in Fallujah. Yeah, and you're TTP man, and every TTP here is different. Yeah, whatever, man. We got it. We're whatever. And so, yeah. So
or geographically, yeah, it was the other thing. You know, But Mac, like I said, it goes both ways.
Right. I'm with you.
Both ways. So I've seen units come in and play the arrogance of, I'm King Poobah, look at me, here's everything. And that gets old, but I've also seen more units come in and go, when are you leaving?
Makes my heart hurt. All right, I got a gun question for you. It's a headline. The Army's brand new handgun already has some major problems.
What?
This is today.
Hello?
Just
wait. Flashback. Mike Musselman said this how many months ago now?
Probably about 5.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just over a year after
my crystal ball away.
the Army selected 6 Hours P320 9mm pistol for its new XM17/18 modular handgun system program to replace the Beretta M9. The branch's new sidearm is showing some serious problems, according to a new Department of Defense report. The Pentagon's overview on its gear and tech programs in 2017, conducted by the Office of the Director of Operational Test and Evaluation and released earlier in January 2018, indicated that both the XM-17 and 18 pistols demonstrated a series of persistent problems, including accidental discharge, ejecting live ammunition, and frequent stoppages when firing ammunition encased in a full metal jacket. Even worse, the report recommends the Army engineer some fixes, quote, upon identification of the root cause of the ejection issue, a statement that indicates the branch hasn't yet identified the source of the issue.
Right.
So,
and the question is what?
Come on, man. Accidental discharge?
Mac. Here, let me put everything back in perspective.
Hold on. Accidental discharge, wasn't that an issue?
There's no such thing as an accidental discharge.
Yeah, but wasn't it an issue that when this thing got dropped? Did the firing pin?
It failed the drop test. It was fine.
That's one of the things we talked about. All right, keep going.
Okay. So let's clear some. I see what you're doing here. You're actually drinking the Kool-Aid, and that's the problem. So let's get off the Kool-Aid. Let's put the glass down and stop believing. Number one, the military is not a gun culture. But Gunner, they carry guns.
All the time. They carry guns.
It doesn't make them a gun culture. They're scared of guns. Everything they design, everything they do, is so guns never hurt anybody. You know, that's why we have all these switches and safeties and whatchamacallits and rules and gear clearing barrels. Guns if the Army could have its way, guns would never kill anybody. But a gunner, guns are supposed to kill people in the hands of military people. Yes, in fantasy land, you're correct. Yes, sir. Give that man a cigar. But the military is not a gun culture, so it doesn't know how to do these things. It needs to embrace a gun type culture. Again, so in these testing and these evaluations, these are great if this gun is going to the moon, or if this gun is going to get locked into ice in Antarctica for 6 years, and you're going to come across it and fire it. It's going to be reliable. These are great, right? But they do nothing for your average soldier. Because again, Mac, for crying out loud, how many hours does the average Marine every year apply the fundamental basics of marksmanship? It's about 5 hours. Shit, Mike, what do you do that's good for 5 hours every year? Nothing. I'm on the crapper more than 5 hours every year.
Oh, my God.
You know, so I'm a professional shitter. I'm not a professional shooter.
Well, you're an experienced, a very, very experienced amateur shitter. You're not a professional. You've never been paid for
it. Well, when you compare both of them, you compare me on the pot or me shooting. Man, I'm an exceptional professional when it comes to crapping.
Exactly.
You know, when it comes to shooting. But that's the problem. But we give, in the essence of it, in the essence, why are we chasing the pistol in the first place? Why? Short sight radius, much harder to train to, but how much more time do we give to the average soldier and the Marine to train? None. We have to fit that within the 5 hours. So, but in the end, what kills? It's not the gun. We don't defeat the enemy by the individual actions of the soldier. It's combined arms. He's a very, very, very small cog when it comes to him shooting his gun. Very small cog. If anything, if you look at it, he's more of a liability out there on the battlefield than he is anything else, because the potential to cause harm with his gun, to shoot indiscriminately and cause damage to a civilian or something, much more potential to cause much greater things than good come from it. So you take your special forces guys, you take your SEALs and your MARSOC guys, much different when you look at it. You know, you're talking about hundreds of hours of shooting, you know, probably thousands of hours of shooting in a given year. Hundred times more. But why? Because we're talking about, those guys are surgical. That's the surgical blade. That's the physician cutting in you with that little itty bitty thing. He has to be precise. He can't make a mistake. He can't nick something. Everything's got to go perfectly. So that's the problem. We spend so much time and effort on trying to design or find something that fits. Here's what fits. Get everybody a blue rubber gun. No one will ever get shot. Everybody will train to whatever standard, and then everybody will have a handgun. You know, or, you know, it's an argument I have with the OOD. We got to arm our OODs with handguns. Why? Give them a radio. You know, you want a guy protecting another person that's got 5 hours of training with this thing? If that, you know, because most of the time, sometimes they just get FAM quality, you know, familiarization fire. And that was based on whatever someone put together. There's 50 rounds, just go shoot it into that berm over there. Oh, you did it? You hit the ground? Good job. All 50 times? Wait a second, you struck the ground 50 times? Man, that's an expert. Give this guy an expert ground badge. It's insane, Mac. It's insane.
Okay, so.
And it doesn't change on the civilian world. You know, the classes that I give, and I, you know, I've been teaching license to carry, concealed carry, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
I've been teaching that. You should hear some of the questions.
Give me a good question.
Oh, I'm not going to.
Come on. Come on. Just one.
Like, just one?
Just one. Give me one good question that you've had. And let me ask you this. When you get them, do you keep a straight face and say, look, there's no stupid questions?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm very, very, okay. very respectful.
You're professional.
Because
okay.
you don't know what, you know.
I'm with you.
What's going to go on.
I know.
Yeah. But I've heard questions of, you know, I have this gun that has a red dot on it. If the lever, if I, you know, someone told me if I see the red dot, I can it'll shoot. Yes. It'll just shoot. No. Remember we talked about your fingers got to be on the trigger. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, or I don't keep my gun loaded. Why? Well, cause in case it goes off. And you're like, okay. But, and you know, and I do it jokingly, kind of like laughter,
right, right.
you know, and I, one time I took my gun out. You know, in front of everybody, live gun. I took it, took the ammunition out of it, put the ammunition right next to it though, and then physically and mentally abused my gun. I was calling it names. I was hitting it. You know, I was doing things to it. And I said, okay, who believes that my gun is now holding a grudge against me? That one day I'm going to come in the house and he's just going to go off because he's having a bad day. I said, you know, and they would laugh about it. And I said, but that's the mentality that we have, guys. That's what we believe. You know, we're laughing at it. Or I show them the video of the, you know, we talked about it, of a Black Hawk Down in the, right. in the tent. A right. soldier saved that weapon. And we all laughed. We're laughing at one or two people. But it's the understanding of being a gun culture. First of all, you got to understand, the military is not a gun culture. As a whole.
Right.
The special forces, guys like that, guys that use the guns all the time, yeah. Absolutely. They are a gun culture. You walk in there, and I'll tell you what, some of the safest guys to be around are those guys. Do they make mistakes? Sure. Everybody's human. But the propensity to make that mistake, very, 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 very low. You know? It's like, ask Rudy, would you rather have a guy with 12 flight hours flying this plane through a storm or 12,000 flight hours? No shit, Sherlock, right? When you choose your doctor, do you choose him off his age? Man, this guy just graduated med school. He's going to be cheap, right? But for some reason, we accept it when it comes to guns. You know, crazy.
All right, let me interject.
Okay.
This could be a big problem. This could be a big problem for the Army, which started fielding the new pistol in November. Okay.
Right.
However, one of 6 hours competitors will end up more steam than the Army itself. Shortly after the branch awarded the $580 million module handgun system contract, program contender Glock filed a protest with the U.S. Government Accountability Office claiming that U.S. Army Material Command, quote, improperly failed to complete reliability testing, unquote, on Sig Sauer's compact XM-17 entry. The complaint was thrown out, but the GAO's judgment in June 2017 suggests that the branch ended up selecting Sig Sauer's entry due to its relatively low price point for a two-gun proposal that offered, quote, the overall best value to the government. It now appears that the Army is getting what it paid for. Safety defects like those reported to the Office of the Director of Operational Test and Evaluation have cropped up in months between the GAO's decision in June and the pistol's initial fielding in November. Several videos posted online show the commercial Sig Sauer P320 firing when dropped, a defect that first became evident in January 2017 when an experienced officer with the Connecticut Police Department Special Response Team was shot in the left leg after his pistol discharged upon hitting the ground. We talked about that, right? And we read the Army Chief of Staff's quotes that, yeah, this is going to get fixed. Maybe not. Maybe not.
Well, it's going to get fixed because we're not going to allow reporters in there anymore.
That's how we're going to fix it. We're going to embargo military coverage of it. That's
right.
How we got to fix how the government report will affect the fielding of the XM-17 and 18 to soldiers remains to be seen, but the impact of the report won't stop the Army. In May, Pentagon officials stated that the Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps are interested in adopting more than 220,000 M17 pistols between the three of them. Hopefully the Pentagon will figure out what's wrong with the handgun before fielding it to the other services.
Well, yeah. See, the Army, here's what, the Army thinks that it stepped in shit, right? That's the funny thing. They believe that they stepped in shit. So they've cleaned the bottom of their, they're cleaning the bottom of their shoe, thinking that'll resolve the matter. Right. The funny thing is, they didn't step in it, they fell in it. So their bottom of their shoes are clean, and they're walking around going, we're stink free now. No, guys, you fell in it. Look at you. Look in the mirror. Yes, the bottom of your shoes are clean. You clean the bottom of your shoes. But you got it here, 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 and here. And that's, you know, this is going to be one of those stories that's going to haunt.
Oh, my God.
For months and maybe years.
Hey,
and if the Marine Corps is smart.
Mike, wait till somebody gets killed.
Yeah, well, wait, as I said, I hope the Marine Corps is smart in this and just waits this one out. Because it's procuring, it's still using Glock 19. They're just buying them.
The Marine Corps is?
And you know, and sometimes that's the better recourse. I mean, think about this, Mac. We bought two guns. Okay, it was a $500 million contract, right?
Yes. $580 million, I think.
And we bought $250,000 guns.
Right. Right.
So the guns cost $2,000.
Yes. Yes.
And that includes, I know what that includes. That includes the whole maintenance package and everything else, the cradle to grave type, you know, when you buy
right.
something.
Right, right, right.
But let's think about this. We spent $2,000 for a handgun. Right? $2,000. Why can't you just go out to the local store and buy a Glock for $400? Because they're $385 for government people. And when that Glock breaks, go buy another one. And then go buy another one. But I will tell you, my Glock 19 is, I've had it for now, you know, 10 years. Shot, and the only thing I've ever done is change the barrels out because I've shot so many rounds too. I think that's a good investment. Why, you know, when stuff or solutions are off the shelf, meaning you can just go buy it,
right.
why spend the money and the time and the effort to go down the path and re-engineer something you really don't need?
Well, you tell us that you've been involved in that process. Then why do we do that?
Well, that's the stupidity of it.
Because you make the exact perfect case. If this was World War II, what would we have done? We had just gone and said, hey, which one do we like?
But Mac,
we like that one. We'll build it, and we'll take it. And we'll take a gazillion. We'll take a gazillion copies at $400 a shot. You know, let's go.
But see, Mac, here's the problem. The problem is the formula for acquisitions within the military is the same no matter what. You can't go buy a stealth fighter jet off the shelf. There's right. no company. I can't go to Dallas-Fort Worth and go to a store and buy a freaking fighter jet.
Stealth company.
I'd like to purchase a dual-engine stealth fighter two-seater capable of holding 10,000 pounds of ornaments, whatever, and you know have all these capabilities, and then just buy it. And then what color would you like it in, sir? Black.
Black.
No, it doesn't work that way. But they apply the same formula to a handgun. So the same procurement, the way we go about testing and designing and doing everything, it's the same formula. You don't have to. If the army needed a new MRE spoon, they go through the procurement process the same thing they did going to find a helicopter. Why? Just go buy a goddamn spoon.
Doesn't work like that.
Makes
Mike.
No sense.
With contracting money, you can't do that because there's too much. There's,
well, you got it.
The possibility for graft and corruption is too that I'm going to steer the contract to you because we're buddies and you make spoons and
corruption. There's corrupt. It stinks of corruption the way it is right now. Everybody's getting greased. Everybody's getting paid.
Can't you say?
And, you know, if you look at the board of directors of.
Can't you say one thing? USA, can't you say one thing nice today?
The problem is, you look at the board of directors of SIG USA, look at their backgrounds.
Let me guess. All military and procurement guys.
or former.
Right.
Same with Colt.
Right.
Same with everybody else.
Right. No, you talk to guys who like want to make serious money when they get out of the Marine Corps. Where did they try to go in the last few tours, Mike?
Oh, they go up to D.C.
to procure.
They go into the acquisition procurement.
Yeah. And then that paves the way into the civilian sector.
Oh, my God.
And big money.
Big money.
Right.
Huge money.
Right.
You think, you think that, the commissioner of NFL is making a lot of money? No. Shit, no.
Although he is making.
Not in these huge contracts.
Although he is making a lot of money.
You know, it works with every service. The Air Force does it with their jets and their maintenance, the Navy does it with their submarines and their ships. The Marine Corps does it with, their land vehicles. Everybody does it. And that's why I always say, it should be against the law. You can't work for a company that you had some kind of, dealings with while you're still on active duty.
Yeah, I don't think you should be able to go into the procurement business if you're former military. Because you and I were just, there was some story that we were talking about last year, and it was like the new CEO had sat out the obligatory period of time and had been the head of procuring that item for the Navy.
Right.
I think it was General Dynamics. You're like, what? Yeah. This guy was the advocate and the lead on the Musselman class destroyer that the Navy just bought. You know, it was supposed to get 16. Because of cost overruns, they're going to get 5. He's now the head of General Dynamics. You're like.
And no one sees a problem with that.
Nobody's got a problem with that. Yeah. And everybody up in arms when General Allen spoke at a convention in public in front of God and everybody. And to which I responded, look, send him up there all day. Stop this other backdoor bullshit.
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, that gets in everybody's wallet, doesn't it? The email. Mac, ask Gunner if he's fired up for the State of the Union. You fired up for the State of the Union tonight?
No.
You're not?
No, I'm not going to watch it.
You're not going to watch it? Come on, you have to.
No, I like the highlight reels.
You do?
Yeah.
D. Trump in action.
I can't listen to him talk. I just don't. He's not the greatest speaker.
We're gonna have a great immigration program, a great one. It's gonna be fantastic.
Yeah, the guy says great. Yeah. Oh my God. It's just
healthcare. We're gonna have great healthcare. It's gonna be the best healthcare. It's gonna be incredible. And that's where it ends. That's where it ends. So yeah, I feel your pain. He's not the best. He's not the best speech maker. So what do you think happens relative to the pistol thing? Do you think the Marine Corps goes ahead and buys it, or hopefully waves off and says, yeah, based on the Army problems?
Well, it's hard because, the problem comes as cost. It's hard to afford your own testing and an upkeep of something and manage your own program. That costs money. So it's going to come down to money. Can the Marine Corps afford it to run its own program? And then you got to go up in front of Congress and convince Congress of why you're different. Why do you want a different pistol? The SIG is not good enough? What? Why? We had to do that in every category. Why do you have a different uniform? Why do you have different camouflage? Why do you have a different this? Why do you have different that? So we have to go up there every time and confront Congress and explain to them why the Marine Corps is different than the other services. And that gets tiring.
I'm with you.
You just can't say it because.
Yeah, you can. You could say it because. You would say it because I said so. Do you want to be critical of the Commandant?
No, not at all.
Not at all? Message to the Force 2018: Execute, unquote. He has three major themes in his little message he sent out. One, live the title you've earned every day. All right. Two, hone your warfighter mindset. Three, lead like you want to be led. All right. Do you think that's okay. All? Do you think that's all solid? Do you think that's good? R.B. Neller, General, United States Marine Corps, Commandant of the Marine Corps.
Those are kind of vague. I mean, give me an example how to do those.
Lead like you want to be led. Marines, as good as they are, expect their leaders to inspire them through their personal example, competence, and values. Marine leaders at every level are expected to teach, coach, and mentor. I expect leaders to be involved in every aspect of the lives of the Marines they lead. When we are personally invested in the success of our Marines on the job and in life,
okay,
we sustain the transformation and make better Marines.
Okay. My question right back would be, where's your promise to me then that you'll uphold when bad leaders are found? What are we going to do with them?
We're going to keep them. We're not going to paper them. We're going to look the other way. For instance, let me give you a hypothetical example. You're a staff sergeant and you go to platoon sergeant's course and you get there and you fail the PFT. What does that mean? Failing a PFT for a school.
As a staff sergeant?
Yeah, as a staff sergeant.
You're out.
You double signed fitness support, right? Adverse fitness support,
yeah,
school, right? Come on, but he comes back. Come on, he's a good muscleman's a good guy. Are we really going to screw him over like that?
Well, no, muscleman screwed himself over.
No, he didn't. No, he's, we deployed. We got back. We had a month off. And, he went on vacation with his wife. He took some leave, and not really his fault. He's a good guy.
That's the problem.
Yeah, it is a problem. There's some things I can save you from. There's other things
I can't save you from. Yeah.
Right. I can't save you. There's certain lines in life that when you cross them, and Mike and I both know because we've crossed them, right? And when it goes wrong, it goes wrong. You got caught. I can't save you from this. But there just seems to be this thing in the Marine Corps now that was unrehearsed, by the way, that like you can be a subpar performer, and we feel bad about getting rid of you, and so we'll keep you around. And it's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
That's the buy-in that I'm all about the speech, but what's the guarantee that the Marine Corps is going to do what it's supposed to do then when identifies bad leadership?
Yeah. Yeah. I
like that idea, but I also want
that
sword, a guarantee that.
That sword's got to swing both ways. That guys who don't meet this standard, you're going to get rid of them. I had somebody tell me a story the other day about a platoon sergeant, two suicide gestures, been relieved twice. Is now the platoon sergeant of another platoon. Like, what? Because nobody wants to put a dagger in his heart professionally and saying, hey, look, I'm sorry, but here's your paper. You're going to be admin separated because you can't do this. It just doesn't work. No matter how much you cry in my office and tell me how hard your life is and all that, I'm sorry. This is not compatible with you. But that seems to be an issue in the Marine Corps these days. Anyway. All right, what do you got going on today? Anything fun? Anything exciting? Anything happy?
No, just relaxing.
When can we start talking about baseball again? Baseball's happy.
Mm-mm.
You did this to me last year. Like, we can't talk about it. Not till September. What?
Right.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That aggression will not stand. Just so you know. I'm warning you. Just take it as a warning, Gunner. Take it as a warning.
Oh, I'm on notice?
You're on notice. Yeah. Look, I like it. He knew what he got put on just then. That was good. I like that. You're on notice there, bro.
Yeah.
you're on notice. I like the way you figure that shit
out. All right.
All right. So nothing, you're just hanging out today? What's the weather like in Texas?
Hey, Siri. What's the temperature outside?
Didn't even work.
It's
shit.
Yeah, it's nice out. It's 53 out.
53 degrees. That's it? Damn.
Yeah.
Looking for 80 again here in some beautiful Southern California.
53 and sunny.
Yeah. 88 yesterday. What the hell was that? All right, man. So, wait, one more email before I let you go. Mac, does the gunner think the Marine Corps is actually going to go down and buy that piece of shit? That would be the Army six-hour P-320 piece of shit that fires when it's dropped. Oh, my God. Let me just tell you,
It
will kill more people in headquarters units and COCs around the military, if it does that, then it will in combat. Because there's a million more people carrying it like that than there will be shooting with it. And so that's not going to be a good thing. So do you think, Gunner, in your official capacity as the All Marine Radio head gunner, we've got to give you a more.
Yes.
You think the Marine Corps will buy it?
Yeah, they're going to be, it's going to come down. I mean, I don't think they'll buy it because they want to. I think they're going to have to buy it because they have to.
Okay, so explain why they have to, and then we'll let you go.
Again, because they can't afford to do their own procurement and then maintain it.
Even at $2,000 a weapon? Shit.
Yeah, well, we used to pay more than that for our sniper rifles, and we used to build those in-house.
That's snipers, though. We're okay with that, man. But pistols? Come on. It's a pistol.
Yeah. It's a matter of
why don't we not have a maintenance program? We'll buy spare parts, you know, for first echelon. But when it breaks, just throw the son of a bitch away. And then what we'll do...
Because if you haven't noticed, Mac, our maintenance logistics thing is kind of broken anyway.
Yeah, so we'll just throw them away, and then we'll have a storefront in Jacksonville, and we'll have one in Oceanside and San Clemente, and we'll just sell Glocks. Use Glocks. They're broken. Fix them. Not a problem. And then we'll get like 200 of the 400 back, and we'll be, come on, we can sustain ourselves like that. Just saying.
Yeah, and I hope they do the right thing. I hope they decide, you know, we're not going to get on this path.
I know, but you're...
You don't want to inherit more problems. Yeah, that's the thing.
You always seem to be right, as much as it pains me to say that. You always seem to be right in these situations. We need to get Wade on. Call Chris Wade.
Yeah, I think he's retired now. He's actually...
What?
Passed the torch.
He did?
Yeah. Let's call him.
What's that going to do to his video career?
Oh, he'll do that. He'll land on his feet.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. All right, brother. I'll let you go.
Wait. I don't...
You have a good day.
I don't see him... I don't see any story about him retiring. So, I don't think it happened yet.
I'll call him.
Call him. Tell him we want him to come on. And we want to talk about squad... Staff Sergeant Squad Leaders.
Right.
And his little experiment that he did with 1-6 that has all kinds of pictures and got everybody fired up about all kind of special ops gear going into the grunt. So tell him we need his time for about an hour one of these days. All right, man. Have a good one.
All right. Talk to you.
Michael Musselman. There you have it. The man, the myth, the legend. Mike Musselman. All right. He does predict that shit, too. And it is. It's the military's dilemma. Only a small part of the military is gun-friendly. Everybody else, you're trying to protect them from themselves. So you can imagine those guys sitting there, Glock saying, yeah, well, the first safety is don't put your finger on the trigger. What? Yeah, we can't do that. These monkeys, They won't be able to do that. Yeah. Anyway, my thanks to you for listening. My thanks to Jerry Joes, Corporal, United States Marine Corps, medically retired, Vietnam veteran, double amputee, and president of the Marine Corps, I'm sorry, president of the First Marine Division Association. They're in Southern California this week, and hoping to have the, you know, the Second Marine Division on, their association, because they all do good stuff. And also, as you heard him talk about in the interview, they need you to join. So, and you know what? I think it's, and I do think it's important. I'll say it again. I think it's important, and I've even written myself a note, to get involved in Marine organizations where you live and not just hang out with your buddies, but be a part of those things that reach out into your community and do good things and represent, because our culture needs it. Our culture needs it. All right. This program repeats itself momentarily. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. On a Tuesday. All Marine Radio, over and out.